I'd like to begin this afternoon session just by passing out some of these. Sumi, if you could start sending it that way. There are just some formulations of, a couple formulations loving kindness. There's a variety of ways and phrases and whatnot that are used and are helpful. When we reflect on loving kindness and use it as a meditation, I think it's good to reflect on how. Say what's the basis of loving kindness, and the one of the ways that it's described. Ajahn Sumedho describes it that way as not dwelling in aversion. And that's a helpful way to consider it. And also when we think of the right in the Noble Eightfold Path, there's the Sammasankappa, which is the right intention or right thought, those are three aspects of that. So the aspect of renunciation. Not drifting into sensuality, but then there's the apayabhara vitakka. They say not thinking with ill will or aversion, and then the other one is vihinsa vitakka, which is the thoughts of non-harming. Which is, those are oftentimes equated with loving kindness and compassion, so on its positive side. But in order for loving kindness to arise, then there has to be these thoughts of non-ill will, non-aversion. So that to be able to turn attention to that. Just that simple sense, because oftentimes we can easily sort of I should be thinking these sublime thoughts of love for all beings everywhere, just if you can just not get averse to them, it's a great start. It's a bit easier sort of beginning as well, and sort of you can encourage yourself along the way. So that sort of ways of encouraging oneself are very, very important. But that in itself is an act of loving kindness, sort of encouraging oneself in something that is skillful. Bhante Gunaratana tells a kind of a lovely story of him. He's going to teach in some place in Europe, and the person who contacted him was had invited him to teach in Europe. And then as he was getting close to the time that he was going to be there, then sort of asked, what do you teach? And he said, well, I teach mindfulness, I teach vipassana, I teach. And she said, you don't teach loving kindness, do you? I hate loving kindness. And in actual fact, Bhante Ji is a big foundation in his teachings, and the reason why she hated it was because she felt she was supposed to have this sort of love for and for everybody. She'd been through the Second World War, and she's Jewish, and there was lost huge amounts of family and culture, and that was you're not going to get me doing loving kindness. But it's also something that, in terms of when one reflects on it in terms of oneself, to not dwell in aversion is an act of great kindness to oneself, so that you don't, because the reality is the very first person who receives any loving kindness you're able to conjure up in your heart is yourself, whether one directs it to oneself or not. And that is the way that the instructions are set up. From the time of the early commentaries to the Buddha's teachings, when they structured and systematized the loving kindness meditations, as to direct loving kindness towards oneself, and that's where you establish that loving kindness towards oneself before going on to generating loving kindness for somebody else. And that has a very strong, psychological foundation, in that you can't really share anything unless your cup is full. Mm-hmm. So, or at least something in your cup. so that directing attention to the cultivation and bringing into being of those thoughts of loving kindness, and You know, that can be, you know, we can complicate that by our own feelings of uncertainty, doubt, whatever. Sort of that sense of, you know, maybe I shouldn't be doing it towards myself, I'm not worthy, blah, 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 all of these things, guilt. And I know, say there's one of our teachers in Australia, John Brahmawangso, who encourages people to, well, if you can't start with yourself, then start with anything. You know, a little puppy, a kitten, anything. Because in reality, the cultivation of loving kindness is not the actual, say, repeating of the words. It's not the I mean, you use those words and phrases, but it's about the feeling, that feeling of loving kindness, the feeling of warmth, the feeling of acceptance, the feeling of openness, the feeling of the heart including and concern for the happiness of oneself or others, and that's about generating the feeling. In terms of meditation, it's that directing attention to the feeling or emotion of that sense of kindness, well-wishing, and then finding ways to support that and to shore that up and allow that to become stable, and then to start to suffuse one's own being, and then allowing that to spread out. And that's it requires mindfulness, it requires attention, it requires that sort of, and that's, and as, is one of the reasons why I'm only introducing loving kindness. I mean, it's the afternoon of the second day of my teaching, because I think it's important to see that it's something in a context of refuges, precepts, mindfulness, attention to the body, a whole realm of say, faith, confidence, effort, all of the spiritual faculties are necessary to be cultivated and developed. And then that's a particular skillful and wholesome quality that one can then draw one's attention to and allow to shine forth, and that can be when it's got a stable base, then you can start to allow it to shine more brightly. And then if for some reason, then you know, one starts to draw attention to that or developing it, and for some reason it seems it happens to be a bit impermanent, then it's not sort of like, oh God, I've completely blown it, I've came on a metta retreat and I can't keep this metta going at all. Well, it's not really the point. The point is, it's like, oh well, there's this whole sort of spiritual path to be cultivating, and then that's an opportunity or an option that one can direct attention to and see where it goes. That too. But that bringing of attention to the different different faculties of our spiritual cultivation, of our meditation, and building that base, and then recognizing, well, there is this opportunity to hone in on a particular, say, like mature emotion, and allow that to come forward, and it's very powerful, it's very useful, it's very healing. But it's also, it's only one of many things. So it's not a, it is a matter of sort of succeeding or failing, sort of seeing the opportunity that one has of cultivating the path, and then seeing where that, what actually comes up when one directs attention to loving kindness. And as I say, one can set one's intention to okay, I'm going to be doing cultivation of loving kindness, and then start to be flooded by memories of something that is very painful, or there's a lot of fear or aversion mixed in with that. I say, well, and you say, well, that attending to non-aversion, attending to, okay, can I not get hooked into the aversion and ill will? And then seeing, and then understanding more clearly as well, because sometimes you, it's like a particular practice, hey, opens doors into the heart, into the mind, and you aren't going to be sure what you find. But they're your own doors. So. So it's like, well, learning what's behind these doors, and that's a good thing. I think also one of the reasons of that why, and not just about loving kindness, but the whole spiritual practice, why it's so important to be having that whole foundation of precepts, generosity, restraint, reflection, investigation, that whole base is what gives you the solidity and stability to be able to not be shaken by the things that do sort of appear out of the doorways of the mind. Because one of the images of Ajahn Chah's teaching of it was a kind of a fairly loose translation teaching of Ajahn Chah's of it's like having the spring or the pond in the forest, and many wonderful creatures come to drink at that pond and to drink the water, and it's a fairly benign and image of the having all these nice little bunny rabbits and creatures coming, but that isn't all that comes to the comes to the pond. there. And you realize, well, that's nature. It's nature as it is, and that's the mind is nature, and recognizing that it is all a part of nature, and it's really not a. It's really not, nothing is a problem. And of course, that's also the skill or the wholesome result of, say, loving kindness, because it really does, as one cultivates it more and more, becomes grounded in it, then that perception becomes more and more clear. Just nothing's a problem. Actually, because one is always wishing for the, there is, and it's not just I need to wish for their happiness or well-being. It's cellular. It's the way it is. That's the way the heart responds when it's not self-protecting, when it's not buying into its complications. That is the nature of things as well. So it's saying one gains that confidence. Doing it as a practice is making it very conscious. Again, it does, as it's cultivated, then it really becomes second nature. I think of Ajahn Chah as a stellar example of somebody with loving kindness. People wanted to draw close to him because of that kindness, and it was also we were walking around Wat Bopong one time, Ajahn Chah's monastery, with Ajahn Liam. This is after Ajahn Chah had passed away. Or maybe it might have been around the end of Ajahn Chah's life. Ajahn Liam, who was an excellent monk teacher, and he was saying, you know, Ajahn Chah had such loving kindness, and that's why so many people wanted to be with him, come close to him. He said that's why I've opted for equanimity. this loving kindness is a lot of work too. I'll do the equanimity bit. And those people who've met Ajahn Liam, I mean, he has that sort of air of equanimity, and sort of really, he's in the middle of everything. This is the world. So in cultivating loving kindness and doing it consciously, just when we use the phrases, one of the ways of doing it is to like using a phrase and then let it resonate for a bit, just to allow it to resonate. What does that say? Like, this is, there's a, the one that is sharing your loving kindness. It's like, well, just, you know, may I be well, happy, peaceful. You know, this setting a well-wishing. And then, just allowing that to resonate for a bit. And then settling in the body. Because again, part of the say, loving-kindness, of course, is not separated from what you're feeling in the body. It's just really relaxing, settling. And you're using the phrases as a in the it's like a meditation tool or a parikamma. It's like a repetition that helps the mind to focus, so that the articulating of it as a thought or verbalizing it helps one to, okay, this is the present moment, this is the thought. Well, what's the feeling? And then drawing attention into the heart. Well, what's the feeling? And then relaxing, paying attention to the body, using the breathing to soften, to relax. I'll probably do this as a guided meditation after, but it's something that you can use on your own as a practice, and then you can do it at your own speed. I'll do it at in the speed that I feel comfortable with, and which doesn't necessarily mean that's how I even do it when I'm on my own, but in a group, and we'll go through it. But it's like how to use it is to tune into the body, paying attention to your posture, relaxing the posture, allowing the breathing to settle deeply, tapping into the rhythm of the breathing, and then planting a seed within that sphere of relaxation or settledness, and then allowing that, and then paying attention to the feeling. Because again, I can't emphasize enough that the metta bhavana, the development of loving kindness, is not getting proficient at memorizing the lines and getting or coming up with really neat new lines. But it's sort of the revolutionary art of cultivating loving kindness and new and improved. But they paying attention to the feeling and then allowing that feeling to permeate, to suffuse the body and the mind, the heart, allowing that to spread through. And, at the beginning, it would just be little flickers of loving-kindness, a feeling that one associates with a sense of warmth or kindness, a sense of loving attention. And that's fine. But it's sort of recognize, okay, that's how to nurture that. And the way of nurturing it is using phrases that seem to be meaningful for one. And that's why when Jayanta was coming, she asked, can you bring anything? Do you want some, we didn't get some copies of some different phrases. I said, yes, because some will resonate with some people and some might not. And there's a whole array of different phrases. So it's like you becoming familiar with what is actually seems to bring a certain resonating within the heart. And is the nature of the mind as well. Once you've got something that's resonating quite nicely and you use it for a while, well, the mind gets inured to it as well. And it's helpful to have another come at it from another angle. So using other phrases, and it's being able to keep it fresh. So the bringing up of the phrase is in a mind, an act of mindfulness, to just be attentive, to follow through in a sequential way of following a pattern of how one does it. It requires a certain mindfulness, attention, consistency, application of mind, and that is part of the cultivation. And in order to be able to say to bring up and sustain loving kindness, then it takes that patience to use these phrases, use the techniques, and then that repetition. As it established, it seems to appear, then one of the things that's important is, of course, not to grab onto it. So you'll finally have this feeling of loving kindness, and then sort of, okay, I've got to try it. Now I've got to write it, hold on to it and make it stable and steady. And it's like taking a tiny little bird and squashing it. That's it's the same as any other meditation subject. You just have to be able to hold it very lightly, and if it stays fine, and just looking, it's like shoring it up, propping it up, and then allowing it to build. It's very difficult to just to force that feeling. As one pays attention, or brings attention, or directs attention to, say, the positive, say, those say thoughts of well-being, thoughts of well-wishing, and it's important not to try to, fend off sort of any negative thoughts, and sort of like, okay, if negative thoughts come in, thoughts of irritation, thoughts of aversion, then that establishing the mind in non-ill will toward those thoughts of aversion. It's like the... because the... there's a whole series of discourses in the suttas where the Buddha is sitting out in the forest, or he's somewhere, and Mara, who is the sort of the embodiment of the sort of the evil one, the forces of darkness, sort of the Lucifer in Buddhism, and comes and sort of whispering in the Buddha's ear, sort of like, you're not really enlightened, you're just it's just a cop out, you really should be taking responsibility. And there's different sort of ways, and there are discourses that are in the suttas, and the Buddha's response is, I know you, Mara. And that's all it takes for Mara to sort of pack his gear up he's done for. Says, I know you, Mara. And that's the, you know, in the same way in our own mind. I mean, it's just those forces of Mara. They come whispering, in with, that's worthy of a good rant. That's good of, this is unbearable. This is this way. And that's sort of like, I know you, Mara. You know, one doesn't have to, you know, sort of destroy, annihilate, get rid of. It's a, as soon as it's seen clearly, I say, yeah, the forces of Mara have no, they have no ammunition, they have no traction. There's nothing that they can do. So that the, it's a personification of the what goes on in our own mind. Mm-hmm. To be able to, things come up in the mind, you know, whether it's something we're really attracted to, or we want to distract ourselves with, or we want getting doubting about. It's really helpful. It's, I know you, Mara. And then the sort of the bringing a constancy to the application of that cultivation of loving kindness, or whatever meditation one's doing, because this is we're using loving kindness, but it really applies to the whole our whole practice. As we use the phraseology and we'll experiment with it in a bit, and then as you continue the afternoon practice or over these days, then it's just is really experimenting and seeing, well, what is it that is helpful for sustaining that particular that feeling of well-wishing. And it's like by with a like lighting a fire, and you know, you've got a lighter or a match, and you've got a small flame, and you know, you light some paper, you get some kindling, you get some bigger wood, you can build a bigger and bigger fire. So in the same way, we do the same thing within the heart. That you got a small flame of, you know, well, may I be well. And then just attending to that, protecting that, trying to build on it, trying to add a bit more fuel and protect it from the wind, and using it as a means of slowly building, getting more fuel for that positive quality, that positive feeling. And it's a slow sort of building, or sometimes it can poof, it can come up like a big bonfire. It's that starting with a small spark and then allowing it to gain momentum and protecting it and nurturing it. Mm-hmm. So that's the quality that we bring into the practice, that intention of nurturing, of protecting, of bringing into being something that is very wholesome and positive and very precious. To take the care to allow oneself to do that. And sometimes we don't even allow ourselves the time or the space to just allow a feeling of warmth or vulnerability or care, to and security to really establish itself. I'd say it's a curious aspect of the human condition, but there it is. And to giving oneself the opportunity to do that, giving oneself the space. So it's a great gift to oneself to be able to do that. So I think what I do is do a guided meditation using these particular phrases of sharing of loving kindness, and this is quite a classical mode of doing it. In a sense, the phraseology may not be, but in the sense of directing it towards oneself, directing it to one's parents, directing it to one's teachers, sort of the people who are most important karmically bound in a way, then one's family, starting to spread it out with one's family, one's friends, then even to those who are unfriendly. It starts to, because loving kindness starts to be non-discriminative, because even those who are unfriendly to one, they're suffering, and one wants their happiness, and then extending it out without any distinction to all living beings. Again, beginning by settling into the posture, relaxing any tension one's feeling in the shoulders, around the eyes, jaw, allowing the breath to settle into the abdomen, just being very comfortable, allowing a spaciousness in the mind, and then the thought, may I be well, happy, peaceful, and prosperous. That sense of just well-wishing toward oneself, emotionally, materially, may no harm come to me, may no difficulties come to me, may no problems come to me. On a certain level, we know that there's always going to be some difficulties, some problems in life. That's sort of the way things are. But just setting that wish and sort of, may no harm come to me. No difficulties. No problems, allowing that, and the sense of ease and well-being that comes when one isn't having to deal with anything in the moment like that. This phrase, may I always meet with success, I think think I'd like to add a word in that. May I always meet with spiritual success. That sense of, these are a sense of, I have the wish for cultivation of that which is truly good. And that's a spiritual aspiration. And to wish, may I have success in my spiritual endeavors. And that's a, I'd say, a true aspiration. May I also have the patience, courage, understanding, and determination to meet and overcome inevitable difficulties, problems, and failures in life. And that well-wishing encompasses the reality that, there's difficulties, problems. There's always going to be some sort of failure or other. But may I have the qualities which will allow me to see those through. Patience. It's like Ajahn Chah once said that, I don't actually teach very much at all. I just teach people to be patient. And that sense of that patience, a courage, a willingness to be present with things, to face things, whether they're pleasant or unpleasant. There's a courage that is needed to just come up against it. An understanding, that curiosity to want to understand things, to see things through. And determination, the willingness to stick with things, having the determination. I think all of us, if we've taken on spiritual practice, stuck with it for a long enough time, certainly I can vouch for the monastics. We're all pretty stubborn, actually. But it is allowing that stubbornness to be determination. It's a discerning determination to really, we've got the opportunity to do something really skillful, really wholesome, and to stick with it. And those are the qualities that allow us to pass through things. And that's an act of kindness. It's an act of and allow that to be grounded in loving kindness. So I'd like to repeat that phrase again, or this phrasing, because I think it's important that we don't just sort of skip into the, may everybody else have loving kindness. Because it's really important that we're willing to take the time to direct it towards ourselves and allow it to establish within our own heart, towards ourselves. May I be well, happy, peaceful, and prosperous. May no harm come to me. May no difficulties come to me. May no problems come to me. May I always meet with spiritual success. May I have the patience, courage, understanding and determination to meet and overcome inevitable difficulties, problems, and failures in life. And then directing these thoughts of well-wishing to one's parents, particularly if they're still alive, or even if they've passed away, that sense of gratitude. And even if one's had a difficult relationship with parents, at least you made it to this point. And that's a big deal. May my parents be well, happy, peaceful, and prosperous. May no harm come to them. May no difficulties come to them. May no problems come to them. May they always meet with spiritual success. May they also have the patience, courage, understanding, and determination to meet and overcome inevitable difficulties, problems, and failures in life. Directing attention to loving kindness towards one's teachers, whether it's teachers in any worldly skill, knowledge that one has gained, and particularly one's spiritual teachers. There. We are able to cultivate a path of spiritual development because of our relationship with teachers that we've had and still have, and it's a important connection for one to both be grateful for, as well as to delight him, to honor. May my teachers be well, happy, peaceful and prosperous. May no harm come to them. May no difficulties come to them. May no problems come to them. May they always meet with spiritual success. May they also have the patience, courage, understanding, and determination to meet and overcome inevitable difficulties, problems, and failures in life. To allow attention to be directed towards family, whether that's spouses, partners, children, aunts, uncles, cousins, nieces, nephews, sort of by some reasons, karmic reasons, there's relationship, we're related in some way, and their family. May my family be well, happy, peaceful, and prosperous. May no harm come to them. May no difficulties come to them. May no problems come to them. May they always meet with spiritual success. May they also have the patience, courage, understanding and determination to meet and overcome inevitable difficulties, problems, and failures in life. Allowing the attention to broaden, encompassing one's friends or acquaintances who one is friendly with, may my friends be well, happy, peaceful, and prosperous. May no harm come to them. May no difficulties come to them. May no problems come to them. May they always meet with spiritual success. May they have the patience, courage, understanding, and determination to meet and overcome inevitable difficulties, problems, and failures in life. Now allowing our attention to include even those who we feel are unfriendly towards us. People who we've had difficulty with, who in normal circumstances we wouldn't think of them as in a kindly way, but recognizing that we're all in the same boat of birth, aging, sickness, and death, and that's worthy of our well wishes, our kindness. May those unfriendly to me be well, happy, peaceful, and prosperous. May no harm come to them. May no difficulties come to them. May no problems come to them. May they always meet with spiritual success. May they have the patience, courage, understanding, and determination to meet and overcome inevitable difficulties, problems, and failures in life. Allowing the heart to be non-discriminative, expansive, unlimited in its wish towards all living beings. May all living beings be well, happy, peaceful, and prosperous. May no harm come to them. May no difficulties come to them. May no problems come to them. May they always meet with spiritual success. May they have the patience, courage, understanding, and determination to meet and overcome inevitable difficulties, problems, and failures in life. So we can take this next period of sitting for people to work with the practice on their own, as it feels comfortable, as it feels meaningful or useful to you.